Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, chatterers, and welcome to this nice day of love and joining us for story time. Today we're going to start off with a story called Blow Me a Kiss by Karen Collins and Serena Geddes. Samuel was excited. He loved going shopping with Mommy. Samuel smiled at a lady in the post office, but she didn't smile back. She kept looking at her watch and tapping her toes. Samuel blew her a kiss. It flew under the table, over the greeting cards, between the envelopes, around her legs, and landed on her cheek with a loud splat. The lady gasped and felt her face. She stopped looking at her watch and tapping her toes. She played peekaboo until they reached the front of the line. Boo! In the supermarket, Samuel helped Mommy search for apples and avocados, bananas and lettuce, and carrots and chocolate cake. Samuel smiled at the shopkeeper arranging oranges, but she didn't smile back. Her shoulders were droopy and her feet were heavy. Samuel blew her a kiss. It flew through the donuts, over the apples, around the watermelon, between the pineapples, and landed on her forehead with a loud splat. Keeper jumped and felt her face. Her shoulders weren't droopy anymore, and her feet weren't heavy. Instead, she picked up three oranges and juggled. Ta-da! Samuel and Mommy then went to the bank, where he saw an old woman waiting, an old man waiting. Samuel gave him a smile. The old man didn't smile back. He leaned heavily on his walking stick and rubbed his aching hip. Samuel blew him a kiss. It flew under the chair, behind the poster, over the counter, between the tellers, and landed on his nose with a loud splat. The old man yelped and felt his face. He didn't rub his aching hip or lean on his walking stick anymore. Instead, he danced a little jig. It wasn't long before Samuel's kisses filled the shopping center. Finally, it was time to go home. Mommy smiled at Samuel as she put him in the car. Samuel rubbed his eyes and yarned a big yarn. Mommy blew Samuel a gentle kiss. It floated over the steering wheel, under the seatbelt, around the flowers, over the groceries, behind the seat, around the purple elephant, under the toy truck, swept past the cuddly lion, and landed on his soft, rosy cheek without a sound. Stay tuned for your next story. Okay, we're going to continue with another story, and this one is preparing us to lead up to one of my favorite authors, Dr. Seuss. And today we're going to hear If I Ran the Zoo. It's a pretty good zoo, said young Gerald McGrew, and the fellow who runs it seems proud of it too. But if I ran the zoo, said young Gerald McGrew, I'd make a few changes. That's just what I do. The lions and tigers and that kind of stuff they have up here now are not quite good enough. You see, things like these in just any old zoo, they're awfully old-fashioned. I want something new. So I open each cage. I unlock every pen, let the animals go, and start over again. And somehow or other, I think I could find some beast of a much more unusual kind. A four-footed lion, not much of a beast. The one in my zoo will have 10 feet at least. 5 legs on the left and 5 more on the right. Then people will stare and they'll say, what a sight. This zookeeper, newkeeper, Gerald's quite keen. That's the gold darnest lion I ever have seen. My new zoo, McGrew's Zoo, will make people talk. My new zoo, McGrew's Zoo, will make people gawk at the strangest odd creatures that ever did walk. I'll get for my zoo a new sort of a hen who roosts in another hen's top knot, and then another one roosts in a top knot of his, and another in his, and another in his, and so forth and upward onward, gee whiz. But that's just a start. I'll do better than that. They'll see me next day in my zookeeper's hat, coming into my zoo with an elephant cat. They'll be so surprised that they all swallow their gum. Excuse me 1 second. They'll ask when they see my strange animals come, where do you suppose he get things like that from? His animals all have such very odd faces. He must hunt them in rather odd places. And that's what I'll do, said young Gerald McGrew. If you want to catch beasts you don't see every day, you have to go places quite out of the way. You'll have to go places no others can get to. You have to get cold, and you have to get wet, too. Up past the North Pole, where the frozen winds squeal, I'll go and I'll hunt in my Skeagle Mobile and bring back a family of what do you know. And that's how my new zoo, McGrew Zoo, will grow. I'll hunt in the mountains of Samba, my panthers who all wear their eyes at a slant, and capture a fine, fluffy bird called the buzzard, who only eats custard with sauce made of mustard. And also a very fine beast called the flustered who only eats mustard with sauce made of custard. I'll catch them in caves, and I'll catch them in brooks. I'll catch them in crannies. I'll catch them in nooks that you don't read about in geography books. I'll catch them in countries that no one can spell, like the country of Mata Phi Pata Phi Pell. In a country like that, if a hunter is clever, he'll hunt up some beast that you never saw ever. I'll load up 5 boats with a family of jolts whose feet are like cows but wear squirrels' thin coats and sit down like dogs but have voices like goats, excepting they can't sing the very high notes. And then I'll go down to the wilds of Nantucket and capture a family of blokes in a bucket. Then people will say, "Now, I like that boy Heat. His new zoo, McGrew Zoo, is growing by leaps. He captures them wild and he captures them meek. He captures them slim and he captures them sleek. What do you suppose he will capture next week? Capture one tiny. I'll capture one cute. I'll capture a deer that no hunter will shoot. A deer that's so nice, he could sleep in your bed if it weren't for those horns that he has on his head." And speaking of horns that are just a bit queer, I'll bring back a very odd family of deer. A father, a mother, two sisters, a brother, whose horns are connected from one to the other, whose horns are so mixed they can't tell them apart, can't tell where they end and can't tell where they start. Each deer is mighty puzzled. He's never yet found if his horns are hers or the other way round. I'll capture them fat and I'll capture them scrawny. I'll capture a scrabble-foot Molly Gatorny, a high-stepping animal fast as the wind from the blistering sands of the desert of Zend. This beast is the beast that the brave Chef Tins ride when they want to go fast to find some place to hide. A Molly Gatorny is fine for my zoo, and so is the Chef Tin. I'll bring one back, too. In the far western part of southeast North Dakota lives a very fine animal called the iota. But I'll capture one who is even much finer in the northeastern west part of South Carolina. When people see him, they will say, "Now, by thunder, this new zoo, McGrew Zoo, is really a wonder." Most beasts are quite friendly, but still in some lands, some beasts are too dangerous to catch with bare hands. For those that are ugly and vicious and mean, I'll build a bad animal catching machine. It's rather expensive to build such a kit, but with it, a hunter can never get bit. A zoo should have bugs, so I'll catch a squirrel whose legs are snarled up in a terrible snarl. And then I'll go out and I'll capture some shugs, some keen shooter, mean shooter, bean shooter bugs, island of Yerka, and bring back a tizzle pop tough berserker, a kind of canary with quite a tall throat. His neck is so long, if he swallows an oat, for breakfast the first day of April, they say, it has to go down such a very long way that it gets to his stomach the 15th of May. I'll bag a big bug who is very surprising, a feller who has a propeller for rising and zooming around, making cross-country hops from Texas is just tops. And when I've caught him, then the next thing you know, I'll go and I'll capture a wild tic-tac-toe with X's that win and with zeros that lose. He'll look mighty good in this zoo of McGrew's. I'll bring back a gusset, a gherkin, a gasket, and I'll say a gooch from the wild of Natastic. And eight Persian princes will carry the basket. But what their names are, I don't know, so don't ask it. In a cave in Khartoum lives a beast called the Natch that no other hunter's been able to catch. He's hidden for years in his cave with a pouch, and no one's been able to make him come out. But I'll coax him out with a wonderful meal that's cooked by my cooks in my cooker mobile. They'll fix up a dish that is just to his taste. 3 chicken croquettes made of library paste, then sprinkled with peanut shucks, pickled and spiced, then baked at 600 degrees and then iced. It's mighty hard cooking to cook up such feast, but that's how the new zoo, McGrew Zoo, gets beast. I'll go to the faraway mountains of Tobusk, near the river Anubisk, and I'll bring back an obisk, a sort of a kind of a thingamabisk, who only eats rhubarb and corn on the carbisk. Then people will flock to my zoo in a mobisk. McGrew, they will say, does a wonderful jobisk. He hunts with such vim and he hunts with such vigor. His new zoo, McGrew Zoo, gets bigger and bigger. And speaking of birds, there's the Russian Paluski, whose head ski is red ski and belly is blue ski. I'll get one of them for my Suski, McGrewski. Then the whole town would gasp. Why, this boy never sleeps. No keeper before ever kept what he keeps. There's no telling what that young fella would do. And then, just to show them, I'll sail to Katru and bring back an Iktuch, a Pareep, a Nurkle, a Nerd, and a Prue, and a Seersucker, too. I'll hunt in the jungles of Hippo No Hungus and bring back a flock of wild Bippo No Bungus. The Bippo No Bungus from Hippo No Hungus are better than those down in Dippo No Dungus and smarter than those out in Nippo No Nungus. And that's why I'll catch them in Hippo No Hungus instead of those others in Nungus and Dungus. And people will say when they see these, that zookeeper, new keeper, is simply astounding. He travels so far that you'll think he will drop. When do you suppose this young fellow will stop? Stop? Well, I should, but I won't stop until I've captured the Fizza Maliza Madil, the world's biggest bird from the island of Bwark, who only eats pine trees and spits out the bark. And boy, when I get him back home to my park, the whole world was set. Young McGrew made his mark. He's built a zoo better than Noah's whole ark. These wonderful, marvelous beasts that he chooses have made him the greatest of all the McGrewses. Wow, they all cheer. What's this zoo must be worth? It's the gold Dornish zoo on the face of the earth. Yes, that's what I do, dear young Joe McGrew. I make a few changes if I ran the zoo. Well, chatterers, I hope that you enjoy our story today. And until the next time that we meet, keep chattering. Bye for now. Thank you.
Thank you.